A word of prayer before I start. Lord, we just thank you for the day. We thank you for breathing breath in our bodies this morning, for giving us, Lord, yet another opportunity to serve you. Hallelujah. God, I know what I heard from you. And just like many of us, when we speak, Lord, you speak to our hearts first. Lord God, so I just ask that what you reveal to me in your word, Lord God, that you reveal it to your people in love, God. And right now, Lord, I just ask that you open all of our hearts and all of our minds to receive. Let this word fall on fertile ground this morning, that it might grow, Lord God, and produce fruit, God, worthy of you. We thank you in advance for it, Lord. And we ask that you bless all the monies that come in to support the ministry. In Jesus' name, we all pray. Amen. Amen. So, with it being a new year, I know you all are very familiar with New Year's resolutions that people make. And when the Lord gave me the message, I didn't fully understand how it tied with New Year, you know, a New Year's resolution or something new. Based on the statistics that I read, about 30 to 40% of people, mostly younger people, I guess as you get older, you realize that's not, may not be the best use of your time. But we make New Year's resolutions before we go into a new year. You know, promises to ourselves that we're going to get healthier, we're going to lose that 15 pounds, we're going to, you know, get that degree that we set out on. We're going to get ourselves together and wait on God for that new relationship, you know. And I guess what I was thinking about as I was studying was, why do we always want new things? Why are we attracted to new things? And it turns out that it's something innate in humans. Psychologically, we respond more favorably to new things. And the purpose of the whole do something in a new year is, you know, we may not have been happy with how our lives were the year before. So in an effort to forget about those things that happened in the past and, you know, reinvent ourselves, you know, whether that be physically, mentally, financially, we create these resolutions. Well, it turns out of the people that do make resolutions, a very small percentage, less than 10%, actually meet those resolutions that they make. And I don't know how often you thought about this, but as a believer, as a Christian, we have the opportunity to be new every single day. We don't have to wait to a new year, January, to say, I'm going to do all these things. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, God's word says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new. In Ephesians 4, chapter 4, verses 22 through 24, it reads, that ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. We're new in Christ. If you've accepted the Lord today, you are a new creature. You don't have to wait to the beginning of a new year to start making things or trying to be new or renewed. If the Holy Spirit lives in you, you are a new creature in Christ. He said, all things are become new. That we are to put off the old man and put on the new man. I know this is not the first time you're hearing these scriptures. So it may not be a new year, but maybe you're seeking new things, you know, new material things, but we have this fascination with new. But I think God put that in us. A crave and a desire for him. Because he's the only one that can make us new. In and of ourselves, we can't do it. There's nothing externally that can do it. Only him. So when I read the scripture and I thought about the new year, oh, you're out, new year in, you know. Why do we as believers struggle in this area? We know the Spirit lives in us, that fire is in us. But for most of us, sadly, that fire has gone out. And so my message today is talking, the title of it is to rekindle that fire that is in you. That's what's required today. We get in our routines of religion and going to church and doing all the things that we normally do. And that fire that was once passion in us becomes more like a procedure or a protocol. It's just what you do next. But I believe God is calling us to reignite that fire in us, the fire that he put in us. So what exactly does the fire represent to us as believers? In Acts chapter 1, verse 8, it says, "But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and all and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the world." And later on in Acts chapter 2, verse 3, it says, "And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as fire, and it sat upon each of them." You have a fire in you if the Holy Spirit is in you. We cannot allow that fire to grow dim. That's what's happening. That fire needs to be reignited and rekindled in us. And I'm going to talk a little bit more about how to do that later. But I think we first need to understand what that fire is and what it represents. The scripture references fire several times in God's word. We know and most of the time it's a display of God's power or his presence. It refers to the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit that lives in us as a fire. I remember when I first gave my heart to the Lord. Do you remember that? There used to be a saying called Holy Ghost fire. That man or that woman or that child is on fire for God. We don't hear that anymore. Why is that? Because we've allowed that fire to grow dim. See, God hasn't changed. God is still powerful and he's still present. But we have allowed that fire to grow dim in us. The Israelites were led by a cloud in the morning, pillar of fire by night. That Holy Ghost describes it as a fire. That power is a fire in us. I'm not feeling it in the church today. I don't feel that same fire that I used to feel. You know, we used to go to church, and I'm not saying be disorderly, because things are to be done in decency and in order in the house of God. But you could feel the presence of God in the room. And it just moved through everybody in the room. And even if you tried to escape it, it would hit you because it was so thick and it was so strong. Because the presence of God was there in the room, but it was also in the believers in the room. And that fire was burning hot. And when you first gave your heart to the Lord, you could barely stand it. You wanted to tell everybody you knew about the gospel. When is the last time you led someone through the sinner's prayer? When is the last time you told someone about Jesus? Even if you're not speaking a scripture, does your life speak Jesus? Are you the flame? Are you the light that we're supposed to be in this darkness? If that flame has gone out, if that fire has gone out, if it's a flicker, it's drowned by the darkness. I don't know if you all remember the story in 1 Kings in chapter 18. Pastor Ike spoke about Elijah and Elisha this morning. This specific story in chapter 18 is about King Ahab and Elijah. And during their time, there was a drought. And King Ahab wanted to put the blame on Elijah. And Elijah let him know that we're experiencing this drought because of sin and idolatry. And so they challenged, I guess there was a challenge between the two to put forth an altar before God. So King Ahab, and they put their bullock and their sacrifice on their altar, and they prayed, you know, I think they said day and night, and they cut themselves and they did all the things, and nothing happened. And not only did Elijah set an altar and a sacrifice before the Lord, but they poured water over it. You know how hard it is to start a fire with water? Not one, not two, but three times. Drenched it with water. And Elijah prayed to heaven and he said, Lord, so they know that you're God, bring fire down and burn this sacrifice. And with all the things that King Ahab's men and they did, nothing happened. But when Elijah called on God, fire came down from heaven. Word of God says, he is a consuming fire. God is a consuming fire. That same fire came from heaven and completely consumed all that was on the altar there that Elijah had placed. Everything, even with all the water. And because he trusted and put his faith in God, and God displayed his power in that fire, everyone there believed on the Lord. 1 Kings chapter 18, verse 38 says, then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice and the wood and the stones and the dust and licked up the water that was in the trench. And when all the people saw it, they fell on their faces and they said, the Lord, he is God. The Lord, he is God. Just like Elijah, we call on God each and every day, or we should be calling on God to help us to walk out our lives. We can be like the people that worship Baal and go through all the motions. But you see, there was no power in that. There was no fire in that because God wasn't in it. The fire only came down when faith was placed in Almighty God. Think about your home. All of you that have homes, you have electricity that runs through your home. You have appliances that work. But if that electricity is cut off and there is no power, the appliances and all the things, the lights, they are of no use to you. If we allow that fire, that flame in us to go out, it's no use to us or the world around us. It's not that the power is not there, because if the Holy Spirit lives in you, it is. But are you plugged in this morning to the source, which is Jesus? Are you allowing the Holy Spirit that lives in you to do the work? Do I need to rekindle the fire in me? I attend church. I know the word of God. I'm faithful, or I was faithful. I'm going to speak about the past. I was faithful to the Lord in the past. That's got to count. But where is your prayer life this morning? You may read God's word, but do you study it? Do you have an active study life? outside of Bible study, if you even come to Bible study? Do you have a hunger for souls? I remember when I first got saved, I wanted everybody to be with the Lord. There's a fire in you. When you lose that fire, you need to seek God to get it back. You do understand that we're here for all of those who don't know him. And so if you don't have that hunger and that desire for others to know Jesus the way you know Jesus, maybe your fire needs to be rekindled this morning. Fire in the scripture does represent power, God's power and his presence. But it also represents purification. 1 Peter 1:7 says that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor, glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. Fire. Natural fire is a light. And I believe God uses things in nature for a reason, so we can understand it in the natural. So the Holy Spirit in us is a light. It exposes sin. It exposes darkness. It exposes compromise, distractions, all the things. But it also purifies you. In Malachi chapter 3, starting at verse 2, it says, "But who may abide the day of his coming? And who shall stand when he appeareth? For he is like a refiner's fire and like fuller's soap. And he shall sit as a refiner and a purifier of silver. And he shall purify the sons of Levi and purge them as gold and silver, that they may offer unto the Lord an offering in righteousness." This is speaking about the Lord's return and how we're going to be required to be clean. We're going to need that refiner's fire. I looked up fuller's soap. Apparently it was a really, I think, maybe more alkaline, a really harsh soap that they used back then to clean. And they had to put the soap on it and like rub it and scrape it and stomp on it to clean it out. The same way we need to be cleaned because of all of our lack of righteousness. The fire is meant to purify us. We sing a lot of songs about fire come down and Lord refill me and cleanse me. But the truth is, most of us don't want that. We want to be comfortable and we want to continue in what we want to do. But the Lord can't fully use you the way he wants to use you, the way you are. That pruning, that purification process has to happen. And the fire isn't meant to burn us up. It's meant to burn things off of us and out of us that are not like Christ. I don't know if you're familiar with the process of a goldsmith when they make gold. But the goldsmith knows that the molten gold is purified and fully refined when he can see his reflection in it. Similarly, as believers, the world and God knows that that fire in us is doing the work when we look like him, when we reflect him. So we have to allow the Holy Spirit to do that work in us. The sanctification process is how we refer to it. And it is uncomfortable at times. It's very uncomfortable at times. But it's necessary for growth. It's necessary if we want to produce fruit. It's necessary to grant us the strength to do the things that God has called us to do. So fire represents God's power and his presence, also purification. But it also represents our passion and our love for the Lord. I want to be like Jeremiah. And the word, it says in chapter 20, verse 9, "Then I said, I will not make mention of him nor speak any more in his name, but his word was in mine heart as a burning fire shut up in my bones. And I was weary with forbearing and I could not stay." The word of God was so strong in him. It was like fire in his bones. I don't know if you've ever really just felt the power of the Holy Spirit come over you, but that's what it feels like. It just feels like an all-consuming fire burning inside you. And you can hardly contain it. And you want to tell the world all about it. That's when you know that fire is burning bright in you. Romans 12 and 11 says, "Not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord." It's really easy to get so busy with all the things that we don't make time for the Lord, that we're not passionate for him. That word fervent means to be hot, to be passionate, to be zealous. And when we allow ourselves to get into that place where we're comfortable and we're not pushing towards and pressing in to the Lord, if we're not filling ourselves with him, then we're being filled with things of the world. And it strengthens our flesh and it weakens our spirit and it makes it more difficult for us to stay faithful to what God has called us to. The Lord was speaking to the Laodicean church in Revelation chapter 3, starting at verse 15. And he said, "I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot. So then because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth." See, we take a risk living in that lukewarm place. God is saying, "I'd rather you just go on, be out in the world and do that, than claim to be in me and not be hot and on fire for me. Because I will spew you out." And then he spoke again to the church at Ephesus in Revelation chapter 2, verse 4, and said, "Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love." The Ephesus church looked good on the outside, but there was something missing. They had lost their first love. See, we love him because he loved us first. Those who are married or have been married will understand what I'm saying. When you first start dating, oh, you talk on the phone, no one wants to hang up. You know, you can't bear to be away from each other. I remember when Xavius and I were dating, when we would end our day and I would go home, I would sometimes literally cry on the way home because I missed him just that much. Fast forward. You go through some things in a marriage and you appreciate having time away sometimes. So just like in a marriage, you know, you may have love for that partner, but that love fades. Why does that happen? Maybe communication is not there the way it used to be. Maybe you're not dating each other on purpose. We had to make a point to start dating each other in our marriage. You have to make time for intimacy with one another. It's the same way with the Lord. We are the bride of Christ, remember? And that same passion that you had at the beginning of that relationship with your spouse, that's what God wants you to get back with him. That same relationship. That same intimacy. And yes, it requires work and it requires effort, but it's worth every bit of it. It's worth every bit of it. And just speaking in the natural in a marriage, sometimes I'm just amazed by God because I'm learning more about my relationship with him through my relationship with my husband. And I'm learning how to see him differently because I'm focusing on how God sees me. I'm learning how to look past his flaws and his shortcomings and even my own because I know how God sees me. It's easier for me to go and apologize and say I'm sorry and I was wrong because of my relationship with the Lord. We must rekindle that fire. Say, how do I do that, Sister Angela? What do you mean by rekindle? In 2 Timothy 1 and 6, it says, wherefore I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee by putting on of my hands. Stir up the gift. Stir up the gift. All the gift, the fire, whatever God has given you, it's time to stir it up. Have you ever started a fire before? If you leave the ashes there, fire will just go out. You got to rekindle it. You got to move it around. It requires action. It requires effort. But when you move that fire around, that spark comes back. And the more you move it and the more you move it, you know, move it around, the fire grows. And in like manner, we have to rekindle that fire. We have to stir up that gift that's in us. 1 Timothy 4 and 14 says, neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy with the laying on of the hands of prosperity. Fire doesn't go out because God stopped supplying it. It's because we don't adhere to it. We don't steward it, but it is there. We've got to learn to choose a closer relationship with the Lord over convenience. Oh, I don't want to get up. I don't want to pray. I want to finish this show. I got to finish this book. I want to go do this thing. We got to prioritize relationship with the Lord if we want to rekindle that fire. Make time for the Lord. Make room for him. So rekindling the fire requires us to stir up the gift. It also requires us to return to the altar. What do I mean by that? Return to prayer, return to surrender, return to worship. In Leviticus chapter 6 at verse 12, it says, and the fire upon the altar shall be burning in it, and it shall not be put out. And the priest shall burn wood on it every morning and lay the burnt offering in order upon it. And he shall burn thereon the fat of the peace offerings. The fire shall ever be burning upon the altar. It shall never go out. The fire is there, church. But we got to get to the altar. We got to lay down our lives. We are the sacrifice. Resubmission, rededication to the Lord this morning. Reconsecration to him. First step, rekindling that fire. And then the next step is placing our entire lives. Lord, I put my finances before you. I put my relationship. I put my career. I put my children. I put myself. I put everything on the altar to you. And I give you total and full control over that. Hebrews 12 and 1 says, wherefore seeing we are also compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, Lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. See, rekindling the fire, yes, it is necessary. Laying ourselves on the altar, yes, it is necessary. But we also need to lay aside the weights that are weighing us down, the cares of this world. You see, fire needs oxygen to burn. And all this stuff that we are chasing after in this world chokes that fire. So we got to lay it down. The word of God says, lay aside every weight. What is your weight this morning? What is your weight? What are you carrying that you need to put down. God's word says to lay all of our cares on him because he cares for us. But see, when you're carrying that, you stifle that fire in you. It chokes it out. So if you really want to rekindle, it definitely requires us some action. We got to move those ashes around to get that fire going again. We got to lay ourselves on the altar, reconsecrate, rededicate ourselves. This is the beginning of a year. Perfect time to do it. Just say, Lord, I'm going to commit to you like I never have before in this year. Call it a resolution or whatever. But you decide you're going to rekindle that fire that's in you. See, because the fire in us is not just for us, but for the world around us. It gives light, it gives warmth, it gives direction. And when the fire burns brightly in us, we benefit, yes, but the world around us benefits as well. Just know that God hasn't changed. He said, I am God and I change not. We are the ones who have changed. We're the ones that need to take action and rekindle in that fire. Because the fire is there. But again, he's a filler, not a forcer. So he's not going to force himself on you. We have to surrender to that change. Amen. If you bow with me, I'm going to pray. Lord, I thank you for your word. I believe that you want to do a new thing. A new thing in me and every person in this room. A new thing in everyone listening. Lord, you told us that when we accept you as our Savior, we are a new creature. All things are become new and old things are passed away. Because we live in our flesh sometimes, it is difficult to let go of those things in the flesh. So we're coming to you, Lord, asking humbly, Father, that you would just help us, Lord. Help us, God, to understand and realize the power that you have put in us. The Holy Spirit that lives in us, God, and the power that you've given us, Lord, to overcome these things. Remind us, Lord, that that battle was won on the cross. And if we're fighting it in the flesh, Lord God, we will never win that battle. Help us, Lord. Help us, God, to rekindle that fire, to lay ourselves on the altar today, God, and to lay all the things from our past that are holding us down and are choking out the fire in us so that you can burn brightly, Lord, in us, so that we can be saved and the people around us who don't know you can know you by seeing the fire in us. Lord, only you can do it. And we ask that you do it. In the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Father, as my sister just preached, we just say thank you, Lord. Thank you for giving her that word. Thank you for filling her spirit, Father, with that word, Lord. And Father, we just receive that word knowing that, Lord, that was truly a on-time word for us all, Lord. Help us to be kindled once again, Lord Jesus. We just thank you. All these things we ask and pray. Amen. 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 That was an on-time message, church. Amen. Amen. Well, we're going to go ahead and worship and giving. So at this time, if you haven't given, please feel free to do so. And for those online as well, you can also be involved in this moment as well. And feel free to donate and give online as well. Amen. Well, with that being said, you are dismissed. There are no other announcements. See you guys on Wednesday. Bible study does start up once again. Amen. You are dismissed.